Thanks for that good word, Matt. See ya. All right. We've been talking about our family devotions, our building our church, building the unity of our church, or destroying, corrupting our church with dividing things, things that divide us. We've been in 1 Corinthians for a while and some other passages. Family building, body building, and not Arnold Schwarzenegger, but body building, this type, family building. And so we're there again today. We've seen in 1 Corinthians, the letter began to that Corinthian church, who would have been very much, if there's a church as close to an American kind of a church, they would have been as close as anything in there. He began the letter to them. He wrote a letter to that church saying, I hear that there are divisions among you, that you're quarreling amongst yourself. And he says it shouldn't be. And what it was they were saying, well, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, I follow Peter, I'm a follower of Christ. And they were divided over these great men of God, including the Savior himself. And in chapter 1, he says, well, is Christ divided? I mean, come on, you guys are like split up, you're arrogant, you're boastful. He uses that a lot in this letter. And he says it's over men of God. It's over people teaching you Christ. And so that's kind of where these first three or four chapters go. And in chapter 3, he's still there, and he says, what then is Apollos and what is Paul? Servants of God. And we went through that passage. He's going to kind of wrap this thought up, at least with Apollos and himself, in chapter 4. And that's where we're going to be today, is 1 Corinthians chapter 4, because we want to build a quality, true, real family of Christ here. It doesn't matter how big we are. We're powerful. We do amazing things here. The Spirit is here. We pray like crazy on Wednesday night, and things happen here. Lives are being changed here. And so we want to keep just building good family right here. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he talks about one of the strangest and hardest subjects that you and I face today in the church. And here's what I'm going to, just let me map this out a little bit for you. I'm going to be here in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning at verse 1, for a few verses. I'm going to explain some things to you, and then we're going to go to Matthew chapter 7. And I'm going to compare. I'm going to kind of show you a very similar teaching by Jesus himself. And so just to show you, it's not just one part of the Bible or another. This is the teaching. This is how it goes. Jesus himself, as well as the Apostle Paul here in 1 Corinthians. So I'm going to show you, we're going to compare a little bit. Then I'm going to come back, and we're going to nail down, okay, just what is it? And I'm going to be honest with you. This passage of Scripture in Matthew 7, unknown to me, was set up last week by Casey and Devon. They talked about Matthew chapter 7. It's one of the most fearful passages that some of us read sometimes. I didn't know they were going to be here. I didn't know that's the direction they were heading. As I was preparing my message and I was in Indianapolis, they were here bringing you to Matthew chapter 7. So I'm just going to say the Holy Spirit was over us. So, but here's the deal. I'm going to end it because it's so fearful and so hard. I'm going to end the message right here, okay? So take you off the hook for now, for a minute. It's going to start and stop here, and then you can embrace it as well. I'm going to rock your world today. I'm going to rock your world. I'm going to make you mad. You're not going to like it. But it's real. If we want to be a real family, if we really want to be a church, if we really want to follow Jesus, we really want to wear his name, let's just do what it says, all right? So, but we'll start here. We're not going to start here. We will start here, all right? So that's what it is. First Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. It's Apostle Paul talking about him and his fellow leaders, teachers, Apollos, Paul, Cephas. This is how one should regard us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. It's required of a steward that they be found faithful. But with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted. It's the Lord who judges me. Therefore, do not pronounce judgment before the time, before the Lord comes, who will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation, recommendation from the Lord. So, very simply put there then, Paul says, look at me and Apollos and look at the teachers and the leaders. Just look at us as servants of Christ. We are servants. We are not over you. We are servants. We are stewards of the mysteries, which means we have the mysteries of God. We know the Word of God. We've talked to God. We've talked to Jesus. We know His truth, and we're stewards of that, which means we take care of it, and we share it with you, and we teach it with you. That's what Paul was. We have the Word of God, and as a pastor, I believe it's my duty to steward the mysteries from here. I teach the Word of God. So there it is, and he says, it's a very small thing that I would be judged by you or by any human court. The Lord will judge me on that day. Be careful not to judge before the time. On the Lord's day, he will judge me. And so we would read that and we would go, all right, there you go again, Terry. You know, no more judging. Don't be judging anybody. We don't judge people here in the church. Here's the problem. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, very same page in my Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 12. For what have I to do with judging outsiders? Is it not those inside the church whom you are to judge? God judges those outside. Purge this evil person from among you. Chapter 6. When one of you has a grievance against another, does he dare go to law before the unrighteous instead of the saints? Or do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, are you incompetent to try trivial cases? Don't you know we're to judge angels? How much more then matters pertaining to this life? So which is it? Which is it? I don't care if you judge me. God will judge me someday. Or judge in the church. You better judge in the church. And he gives a short list. There's a lot of things. You better judge inside the church. Don't worry about them out there. And by the way, when you have little trivial cases, instead of going uptown to the courthouse here a block away, judge right here. Try these trivial cases right here. Judge yourselves. Don't you know you're going to judge angels someday? You're going to judge the world. Don't judge, judge, don't judge. What are we supposed to do with that? That's a hard thing, right? On the same page, he tells us both. All right. So now let's go to Matthew chapter 7. And let me show you a little something about Jesus when he teaches on this same subject. We'll come back to this. Keep your finger in this. Matthew chapter 7. Passage fearfully and wonderfully made. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Judge not that you be judged. Judge not that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Now let me just share this. When you read that passage, he's not talking about this is how you're going to be judged by me someday. It says, judge not that you be not judged, and that would be by others, all right? For with the judgment you pronounce against others, you will be judged by others. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. On judgment day, the only judgment you and I are going to face, we're going to be measured by Jesus Christ, not others, all right? This is speaking of, if you start judging everybody in your church, they're going to judge you back the same way, and you're just going to start throwing stones at each other. You want to get fussy at them about missing church? You better not miss church, because they're going to look right down their beady little nose at you. Whatever you judge, however nasty you want to be with each other, however you want to judge each other, it's going to come right back on you. When we go to heaven someday, I'm only going to be judged next to Jesus Christ, not me and you, all right? So that's what he's talking about there. The measure you use, it'll be measured right back at you. Verse 3, why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. So, calling us a hypocrite. And he says, don't judge, because they're going to judge you right back with it. But he says, then, take the speck. Before you take the speck out of your brother's eye, take the log out of your own eye. Then you can help take the speck. So it's like, judge not. So this is a brother-to-brother interchange here. You see that? And so first take this monstrous log out of your own eye, and then try and help your brother. So it's kind of like, don't judge, but here's how you do judge. Take this log out, and then you'll be able to judge, so to speak. Here's the fearful part. I think in Matthew chapter 7 that his conversation along this line somewhat continues. I don't think these are broken up into little sound bites like we like to do. I think his thinking is kind of continuing on. But let's just say we've just been told to be very careful how we judge. Okay? Be very careful how you would judge someone. Corinthians said, in the church, you'd better judge. Be very careful. Now let's draw this. I want to draw this picture in your mind. Verse 15. Beware of false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. So here's where this comes to me, okay? I don't want you to think about you. I don't want you to think about you yet. I want you to think about me. I want you to look at me. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravenous wolves. So, a false prophet, I'm not a prophet. I might prophesy, which means I proclaim the word of God, but I'm not a prophet. But for our sake, for general speaking, let's just say I'm a preacher, I'm a proclaimer, okay? And I can proclaim the truth to you, or I can twist this rascal any way I want. So let's just say we're talking about me. Jesus is saying, beware of false preachers, okay? So you're looking at me, all eyes on me, all right? You'll recognize them by their fruit. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. Bad trees are thrown into the fire. We need to know that. If you're going to listen to a preacher, prophet, speaker, you got to understand there are preacher, prophet, speakers with sheep's clothing on that inside are ravenous wolves. I've got to look at this passage and look at myself and go, oh my gosh. These false prophets go to the fire. They don't even know him, and he's about to tell us that. I am so glad you're here today. Verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, now we're still talking about false teachers, okay? Not everyone who says to me, and I know it branches out, not everyone, I know he goes out bigger, but we're still looking at me. I'm taking this one, all right? I'm taking this one for the team. Not everyone who says to me, not every preacher that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Lord, Lord, didn't I preach at Cornerstone in your name? Not every preacher that says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Are you hearing me? Turn your TV on. They're not all going to heaven. Go to any church this morning. We're not all going to heaven. You need to look at me real close. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will say to you, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Only the ones who do the will of the Father, who bear the fruit that you can recognize, will go to heaven. And apparently from this passage, preaching in the name of Jesus, casting out demons in the name of Jesus, doing many mighty works in the name of Jesus is not the will of the Father. That I would say. And that is not the fruit that he's looking for. Because they're doing all that. They're doing all that, and he's saying, only the ones that do my will and only the ones that bear my fruit. And that must not be it. So I stand up here before you. I can preach hellfire and brimstone. I can preach the paint off those walls in the name of Jesus. I could throw demons out of you. I could do amazing, mighty works here. That doesn't mean anything. You are being told by Jesus to be able to look at me, to look past that, to look past the sheep's outer garment, to be able to look inside and judge me. And judge. That's a wolf. That's not a pastor of Jesus Christ. Right? Am I? I'm not fooling you, right? That's what it said. You will recognize them by their fruit. What's the fruit? What's the fruit? If it's not this great ministry, this great kingdom I'm building here, it's not these great mighty works, it's not I'm casting out demons all in Jesus' name, it's not I'm preaching the paint off the wall in Jesus' name, what is the fruit? You've got to recognize me from fruit. And that's not it. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, and so on. What is the fruit? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, I can give my body to be burned. I can do this. If I don't have love, I am nothing. So you've got to know me. You've got to look at me. You've got to see my life somehow. You've got to be able to judge me from the inside. That sounds like judging. I mean, that's judging. That is you listening to a preacher, getting to know him and going, He's not Jesus Christ. He's preaching in Jesus Christ. He's doing all kinds of things. He's got 50,000 people at his church or 15. He's not a preacher. That's not true. You ready? You good with that? You're ready to go? That's a hard one, ain't it? How hard is that? Judge not that you be not judged. But look at these preachers, and you're going to look right past the clothing, right into their heart. You're going to look at the fruit of their life and know that just because they're saying Jesus, Jesus, that ain't yours. It's a wolf right here. Judge them. So what is it? I mean, judge or don't judge? I mean, holy smokes. You, Caleb, you're hearing me, aren't you? Every preacher that preaches Jesus, Jesus, Jesus does not mean they're Jesus man. They're not a servant. They're not a steward. I'm telling you truth, dear. You look at me. You watch the fruit of my life. Don't just listen to what's coming out this mouth. Judge, don't judge. We've built this contemporary church in America around that phrase, don't judge. We don't judge people. We don't judge people. We don't judge people. But Jesus seems to be saying we need to judge at a very, very deep level, even those speaking to us. Paul says, you better judge inside the church. You better get that person right on out of there. You better try those cases. You better be judge, jury, and prosecutor all at the same time, those trivial cases. The cool thing about Paul's message is Paul is preaching judging to the good that is turned bad. He's preaching about good men of God and it about you, about the people in the church quarreling with each other over good things, over good speakers. I follow him. I follow him. You don't know what you're talking about. I follow him. He preaches so good. Paul's so boring. I follow Jesus Christ alone. I don't know Paul or Peter. And they've turned it into a bad thing. And he says, no, you know, someday on that day, the Lord will give us our commendation. Don't pump me up. Don't blow me up. Don't boast over me before that day. So we have a problem here in the church because we built this American church on don't judge me, but now it's very clear that we are to judge the preachers themselves, sin inside the church, trivial cases we don't even know. We're to judge those. We're to clean house. We're to keep a good family. We are to clean our house and keep it cleaned. We are to watch who gets up here and preach. We are to judge. How do we do that? Well, let me show you what these two amazing teachers, and I don't think there's anyone more amazing than Jesus, but this is what Jesus said. On that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of lawlessness. Here's the criteria. Here's a good criteria. Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. It did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell and the floods came and the winds blew and they beat against that house and it fell. And great was the fall of it. When Jesus finished these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching. He was teaching them as one who had authority, not as the scribes. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them and recognizes my authority, You're building your house. You're building your family on the rock. Not just preaching them. Not just the guy who stands up here and preaches the Word of God. The guy who lives the Word of God. He preaches it and then he goes home and he lives the Word of God to you, in front of you, with you. Building with each other. Helping with each other. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them. He does the will of the Father. He lives the will of the Father. He understands the authority of Jesus Christ teaching. Build your house on the rock. Preach it and don't live it. You're building your house on the sand. Does this compare to Paul's teaching in 1 Corinthians chapter 4? Well, let's turn there and look. You have your finger in there? Okay. I'm going to back up to verse 4 just because I love this verse. And I'm going to show it to you just because. So he says, how do you look at me? I'm just a steward. I'm just a servant. I don't really care that much if you judge me. Listen to what he says. It's a very small thing I should be judged by you or by any human court. In fact, I don't even judge myself. Verse 4. For I'm not aware of anything against myself, but I'm not thereby acquitted or innocent. I love that verse. I don't even judge myself. And in this judgment is propping himself up because he's going to say, I'll wait and get my commendation from the Lord. I don't even pump myself up. Why? Now listen, take this one home, put it on your refrigerator. I don't see anything in my life. But that don't mean I'm innocent. I'm looking at my life going, I'm pretty squeaky clean. But that don't mean I'm innocent. When the Lord comes, he will bring to light things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of my heart. So when I start to get pumped up, when I start to think, I'm pretty darn good, I'm something, he's smart enough to say, uh-uh. You might look at your life and say, what am I doing wrong? He says, that doesn't mean you're innocent. Because when our Lord comes and we're mirrored up against Jesus Christ, he's the one. He can look inside of us to things hidden that nobody knows I'm doing. And he can look inside of me at the real purposes of my heart and say, man, you were preaching up a storm, hell, fire that day. But I saw in your heart what you were really after. Let me pull back the curtain and show you your heart. True, wasn't it? I look at my heart and I'm just saying, I'm doing the best I can. I'm innocent. Look at my life. I'm not as bad as old Terry up there. I don't have a record or a rap sheet, or I'm not that stupid. But that don't mean I'm innocent. That's a humbling thing. That's a very humbling thing to know inside of us lurks things only the Lord will reveal someday. That will keep me humble. That will keep me very humble before you. The heart is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Who can know it? So I will do my best. I will give it my best. I will strive to excel to the building of the church and myself included. But I will not puff myself up because there's things lurking in here only the Lord will bring to light someday. I will confess my sins because the Bible says if you are faithful to confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all unrighteousness. I'm going to confess everything I know. And when that sneaky, deceitful little heart of mine has some things in there it's hiding around, He'll forgive me if I confess all my sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But someday, when it's commendation time, he's going to look inside of my heart and say, Terry, when you preached that one on that one morning, I know what was in your heart. I know what you were doing that they didn't know. So let's just start there. That'll keep us humble when we attempt to judge, when we attempt to look around and take the speck out of our brother's eye. There may be a log in our eye. There may be a log in our heart. Let's just be real careful there as we even approach this whole subject of judging in the church, judging others, teachers. But I digress. Jesus said, don't judge, judge. Anyone who keeps these words, you hear these words of mine and do them. Does Paul say that? When the Lord comes, he will bring to light the things now hidden in darkness and will disclose the purposes of the heart. Then each one will receive his commendation from God. I have applied all these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, brothers, that you may learn by us not to go beyond what is written, that none of you may be puffed up in favor of one against another. For who sees anything different in you? And what do you have you didn't receive? If then you received it, why do you boast as if you did not receive it? I've said all these things to you, brothers, so you don't go beyond what's written. Anyone who hears these words of mine and does them, you'll build your house on the rock. Judge, but don't go beyond what's written. Judge in your church. Sin in your church has to be dealt with. Leave them people alone. They don't know Christ. In here, be a good, clean family. Watch. Judge trivial cases. If there's an argument, dispute, come on, isn't there somebody there? You're going to judge angels. But don't go beyond what's written. Don't go, well, I just think he preaches too long. I just don't think you should have coffee on Sunday morning. Those kids are just running around too wild. And don't go beyond what's written. If you come to me, you're complaining, you've got judging going on, that's the first thing you're going to hear back from me. Are you going beyond what's written? Are you going what's beyond what's written? You see, Paul spent a couple years with these churches and taught them from the Old Testament the principles of Jesus Christ. And if you don't think the principles of Jesus Christ are in the Old Testament, you need to show up at Pat's Sunday school class. Amen? She's learning in Exodus, the gospel. Don't go beyond what's written. And so many times, you and I, we judge each other. We tear up a church. We tear up a church. We leave a church. We throw you under the bus on anything but what's written. I just don't think he should wear blue jeans in the pulpit. I just don't think. Don't go beyond what's written. He who hears these words of mine and does them, you'll build your house on the sand or on the rock. If you don't, you're building on the sand. And the storm's sure to come. Judge on what's written. So, I promised you. I promised you it would start with me. So I'm telling you to judge me. I'm begging you to judge me. I am begging you to look close at me. I am begging you to be near enough to me and to my wife. Talk to us. Get to know us. And judge me. Judge me. Judge the fruit of my life. Judge me. You have an open pass to judge me. Just don't go beyond what's written. But do, for your sake, judge me. So you know you don't have a wolf in sheep's clothing here. Look close at the fruit of my life. Look at me. Don't just listen to me. Judge me. I love when you come up to me afterward and say, man, that was a powerful message. You were really speaking to me. I love that. Okay, great. Thank you very much. I want you to say that to me. It encourages me. Please know, I'm smart enough to know that really doesn't put any points in my plus column up there. I will get my commendation from him. But thank you for encouraging me. And if you're going to judge me negatively, I'm going to take it the same way. But if you come to me with what's written, I'm going to take it to heart. Judge me. And here's my question. Shouldn't that be the attitude of us all? If we really want to serve Christ, if we really want to excel at following Christ, if I really, really want to follow my Savior, if I really want to build this building, shouldn't each one of us look across the room and go ahead, I just want to do better anyway, judge me. Just don't go beyond what's written. But judge me, I'm an open book, I want to follow Christ. And if that means dying on the cross, so be it. Judge me. So why is the church in America, big picture, building our whole banner these days on don't judge anyone? Judge me. Look at my life. Drive by my house at night when I don't know. I don't care. I just want to serve Christ. I just want to walk with Christ. And if you see something written that is not what I... You need to say something to me. And I'll sit down with you and go, wow, you're right. I'm working on that. Help me. Because I just want to do better. And he's grace. You know, you get to listen to one guy preach to you. I get to listen to 60 preach at me. It takes that much for a preacher to grow. Shouldn't that be the disposition of the entire church? Judge us. Go right ahead. I just want to be more like Christ anyway. If you see something in here, it's not, go for it. Instead, we're building our kingdoms. That's what we're doing. That's all we're doing by this don't judge me thing. And Paul said it. Already you have all you want. Already you've become rich. Without us, you've become kings. I wish you did reign so that we would share the rule with you. I think God has exhibited us apostles as last of all, like men sentenced to death, because we've become a spectacle to the world, to angels, and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake. You are wise in Christ. We are weak. You're strong. You are held in honor, but we're in disrepute. To this present hour, we hunger and thirst. Listen to this. We are poorly dressed, buffeted, and homeless. If you ever come on Wednesday night and help us feed those people, you look at those people and you say, that's what the apostles look like. We feed the homeless. I fed a big, huge guy named Jesse Wednesday night. He's living in a tent right now. We feed people on Wednesday night that have very little. And you look at them on Wednesday night and you say, that's what the apostles looked like in their day. And he's telling this church, you guys are ruling and reigning. You're building this kingdom. Wow, you're so wise. How come I'm so stupid? You guys are so mighty. You've got the, I follow Paul, I follow Peter. Look at our church, look at our kingdom. He says, why are we looking like homeless people? What's going on here? Why is this backwards? That's what he's saying. Here's the admonition. I don't write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, there may be 1,000 people preaching Christ over you. You do not have many fathers. I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. And that's why I sent Timothy, my beloved faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ. Judge me. Judge me. Timothy is going to tell you my ways in Christ. And all I see is you building a church kingdom there. And us apostles are the scum of the world. That's what he's about to say. We are the scum of the world. And you build your kingdom and argue and fuss about this leader, that leader, this place, that place. And you judge each other. Judge me. Judge me. Look at my life and judge me. And I hope and my prayer is that is the disposition of all of us. Go ahead, neighbor. Go ahead, person on one pew to the other. Judge me, because all I want to do is be excellent at following Christ. Don't go beyond what's written, but judge me. And here's what I will tell you. When you see that little, that maybe it's a log in my eye, maybe it's a speck, I can hold on to that. I can say, don't judge me. Christ forgives me. Christ accepts me. Don't judge that log. But if I take that log out, and if you take that log out, Jesus is going to fill it with love and forgiveness. I can hold on to that log. I can cherish that log. Don't judge me. Don't judge me. I love my log. Or I can take that log out. You're right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's get rid of that. Here, I'm throwing it away. Help me. Help me. Just keep that log over there. I don't want it anymore. And I promise me and you, Jesus Christ will fill that spot with love and forgiveness. And I want more love and forgiveness. I don't want more logs. I want love and forgiveness. Judge me. Go ahead. Start today. Start now when this service is over. Terry, I got it here. I noticed you're doing this. What? Judge me. What do you think? Start here. Don't start with yourself. That Jesus speaking to prophets, to preachers, to teachers. Are you ready to be able to look beyond the woolly little clothing of us preachers and prophets? Can you see by the fruit? Can you look in and see the fruit of who you're listening to and following? You should. Jesus said to those guys, they didn't have a leather-bound Bible. You'll know their fruit. You'll know them by their fruit. Judge them. And then will you with me think about it? I'm asking you to think about it. I've already thought about it. I know what I've got to do. I know what I've got to do. And I probably don't like it any more than you, but I know what I've got to do. I've got to lead. I've got to lead. I've got to lead this little speck of a church from the Church of America. I've got to lead us out. I've got to lead us out of, don't judge me, to judge me. Start with me. Don't right here. Start right here. When you get good at this, then look in the mirror. We've got to come out of this. Because the Scripture says so. Jesus said so. I just want to be the best I can be at following Jesus Christ. I want to be as much like him as I can possibly be. Speak hard truth into my life. From here, from what's written. Okay? How many of you promised to judge me? Raise your hand. Come on. Yeah, okay, good. All right, there we go. Get us on? Lord, thank you. Lord, one of the hardest truths I've preached in a long time. I've opened my arms wide to my family in Christ. And I just pray you'll give me grace to receive what they have to say, to pull those logs and those specks out of my life. Because I want to be like you. I know you're faithful. And sometimes you're faithful through my family. So I pray you'll make this family of believers. I pray you'll build us. Not into our kingdom, but into yours. In Jesus' name, amen.